Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
Hello and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. My name is Chris Long. I'm the host of the program, and we're going to be talking about the pro-life movement. And, of course, we're going to be talking about defunding Planned Parenthood. With me on the phone is the president of Created Equal, Mark Harrington. They are centered in Columbus, Ohio, but they are a national organization. And last week they were in Washington lobbying members of the U.S. Senate to move on their promises to defund Planned Parenthood. Let's fast forward a year ago this week. It's, of course, 90 degrees out right now, and we're in the middle of summer, and there's a deadlock in Washington currently. But last year, of course, was big news as the RNC convention was held in Cleveland, Ohio. And, of course, it was the national story as really national and international guests came from all over the world came to Cleveland for the RNC convention, in which Donald J. Trump would become the party's nominee. That week also, the Republican Platform Committee convened, and they came out with a very strong pro-life, pro-family, very conservative platform, and in some estimation, the most conservative platform that has ever been devised by the Republican Party. One of the key aspects of that was a pledge to defund Planned Parenthood. My good friend Mark Harrington, who is going to be on in just a minute, approached me and said, how do we go about petitioning the committee to put language in that will defund Planned Parenthood? I said, Mark, that's a great idea. I said, let's make some phone calls, find out, and let's start lobbying these members, which we did. And as a result of his efforts and others, they did insert language to defund Planned Parenthood. And of course, leading up to that was the series of videos that were released and went viral across the nation depicting the horrible backdrop of what Planned Parenthood is really all about, selling baby body parts, the very cavalier attitude of its officials in the money-making process of a very ghastly and horrific practice that they've been about, receiving, might I add, your tax dollars and mine to the tune of $500 million a year, $500 million a year, and that's thanks to Obamacare. They received that entitlement through Obamacare, and it continues as long as that is the law of the land. And unfortunately, because of the failure this week of the Republicans in the Senate to come together with a plan to basically repeal Obamacare and replace it with a new health care plan, Obamacare still is the law of the land, and unfortunately, that $500 million to Planned Parenthood stays in place. With me on the phone is Mark Harrington, my good friend, president of Created Equal. Mark, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
Is that a pretty accurate portrayal of what I laid out?
I think you hit the nail on the head.
Well, last year, of course, you were very instrumental in leading that charge, and you rallied other pro-life organizations to lobby the members of the platform committee. Of course, Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council played a key role in that as well. This is kind of really the backroom arrangement of the party system, of how they lay out the platform of the party, what the party's going to run on. You know, Donald Trump pledged also to that platform, and so far he's kept up his part of the bargain. But unfortunately, members of Congress, and especially the Republicans that are in leadership, are fighting with each other, and we've not been able to get anything substantive done in regard to defunding Planned Parenthood. Your thoughts?
Well, that's right, Chris. You know, Republicans historically run on a pro-life position. The platform has been pro-life for as long as I can remember. They get elected with a pro-life view. I mean, that's why millions of Americans vote for them, put them in office, and we expect them, when time comes, to do what's right. And so we have been patiently waiting for the moment to defund Planned Parenthood. Since 2010, the Republicans on Capitol Hill have said that they will defund Planned Parenthood, but they wanted to do it in the broader context of health care reform, i.e. the repeal and replace of Obamacare. They've been saying that now for 7 years and has, as you know, voted to repeal Obamacare many times when Mr. Obama was in the Oval Office. But when it came down to it, at least in the Senate, at this time anyway, it doesn't appear that the votes are there to repeal and replace Obamacare, and therefore, unfortunately, the casualty of that inability to get that done will be more than likely the continued funding of Planned Parenthood. So, sadly, again, the Republicans they talk a good game on the campaign trail, but when given an opportunity to really get it done and push comes to shove, often the preborn babies get thrown under the bus. And that's where we stand right now. We haven't given up. As you know, we were on Capitol Hill last week lobbying our senators. We are not giving up. There's still opportunities to get this done, but it doesn't look like it'll be done in the broader context of health care reform.
Now, on the House side, it seemed like the same scenario. They came up right to the threshold, then they failed. And there was a lot of blame being thrown around there for a couple weeks with the Freedom Caucus and others that didn't get their provisions in the health care bill. And then lo and behold, I think it was on May 4th, they rolled out a health care bill that they could agree upon, and the majority did vote it in the affirmative and sent it to the Senate. That was back May 4th. Now the Senate has had this time to deliberate, put together their version of the bill. They could not come up with the 51 votes needed. Now, they have 52 Republicans serving in the Senate, but there were two holdouts. Rand Paul was one, and Susan Collins, the other left-wing moderate Republican on the other side, they were going to stand down. Then came late word that Mike Lee was withdrawing his support along with another senator, and that made it with no Democratic support. It wasn't going to happen, even if the vice president, who is the chair of the Senate, was to throw his vote in. The vice president can do that in a tie vote, but not enough votes to get it done. Now, Trump says, and this is the headline today, Trump demands action. He's asking the Congress to stay over to get this done. So the pressure's on Mitch McConnell. Now, your group, Created Equal, you brought young people from all over the country, and they took a bus ride to Washington last week, and you went to his offices. Tell us what happened on Capitol Hill.
Well, we launched like probably about 10 days ago. We sent a package to every U.S. senator, a package which we called Delivering Baby Hope. Delivering Baby Hope. And what it was a package that included a 12-week preborn baby model, a model of a preborn baby, with a message, a letter written from the perspective of the baby Hope, writing to the U.S. senator, asking them to defund Planned Parenthood, and then asking them, and you know, obviously with the defunding, that they would save many children like themselves. And so that, because you cannot deliver packages on Capitol Hill to congressmen and women, that's, you know, violates their security protocol for obvious reasons, we had to do it through the U.S. mail. So when we arrived last week, what we did is we symbolically delivered those packages as we went to each individual U.S. senator's office, asked them if they received the package in the mail, made it clear that we were exhorting them to keep the defunding of Planned Parenthood in the health care law, along with eliminating all funding streams to abortion in the law. And for the most part, we were received very well. At the very time they were meeting in the Capitol discussing the replacement for the current bill. So it was very providential we were there. Things have unraveled a little bit since then. But as you said, in the House, the first time through it didn't work. So I think there's a lot of dealing going on Capitol Hill right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if something emerges in the coming days and weeks that they can agree on. We just pray and hope that it includes the defunding of Planned Parenthood in it.
Well, that's right. That's why the repeal of Obamacare is so important, because Planned Parenthood and NARAL and all the abortion groups sat down in that back room with Nancy Pelosi and the Senate leadership when the Democrats controlled the Congress, when President Obama was president, and they worked this out. That was the basically the will of the Democratic Party was to their pro-abortion. They want funding of Planned Parenthood to the tune of $500 million annually, $500 million, folks, of your tax dollars and mine. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, there was a series of videos that were released, undercover videos, that depicted the horrific practices of Planned Parenthood and the selling of body parts behind the scenes to the highest bidder, and their living lavish lifestyles. This horrified the nation, Mark, and it led to the solid pledge of Republicans to defund Planned Parenthood. But yet now here we are, and we're into the seventh month of the new administration, and it is July, late in July, and we have, it's hot outside, it's 90 degrees down in Washington, I'm sure it's a lot hotter, and we have gridlock. We have to, as God's people, pray. We have to really get a hold of the horns of the altar in heaven. We need to pray. We need to intercede. We have been battling the pro-life movement for over 40 years. And here we are on the threshold of having a major victory. But it's not going to come easy, folks, because Satan, who delights in the destruction of the innocent, that which is made in the image of God, he delights in destroying it through the murderous act of abortion, isn't going to relent easily. This isn't political as much as it is spiritual in our nation. Thank God for groups like Created Equal and Mark Harrington and the work that you're doing. Mark, I look at the new website you got up, and by the way, it's really a very great enhanced website, and I love that you see the young people that are marching together, that we are the resistance. These are those who are engaging with the current culture, defending life. Tell us about that.
Well, we're fortunate to be helping to challenge the next generation of leaders to be the future of the pro-life movement. I mean, we are very, very fortunate to have many young people involved in our work. It's important that the youth be eventually, you know, taking over. As you know, Chris, you and I aren't getting any younger.
Right.
And we've got to be replacing ourselves. We've got to be thinking long term. That is, that we are going to be fighting this battle for many, many years. Even if we were to be fortunate enough to reverse Roe versus Wade, there's still going to be plenty of work to do. And so we are, you know, I'm looking to replace myself and others. That's the goal. But it's more than just that. It's not just giving them something to do. It's trying to give them something to do that's effective. And that's why going to Capitol Hill, to me, was a great experience for them. The majority of them had never visited an elected office holder's location. They just hadn't done it. And so this was a great opportunity for them. We continue to try to give them those kinds of opportunities so that when they come back, they can be doing that in their own communities. And we're being fairly successful at it by God's grace.
Well, and it's very impressive what you're doing and the young people that are coming and participating in this, and it's really having an impact. When you went to Senator McConnell's office, what was your reception like?
It was fairly good. I mean, most of them were very excited to see us. First of all, when I walked in the office with 20 young people behind me, I had to be clear to the ones that were our friendly that I'd say we're friendly, because I think they're used to, right now anyway, most people that visit their offices are not friendly. So I made sure that we were friendly. We were there to exhort and encourage the senator and what they were already doing, but make it clear that we will hold them accountable for their vote. And that's how we approached Senator McConnell as well and his aides. And, you know, like I say, for the most part, I think they received the message fine. Remember, he is the focus of all attention, whether it be from conservatives or liberals. That guy's under fire. So they were armed to the bear there. They had police out front and everything else. But we made it clear that we were a friend of his as long as he defends the babies. And we prayed for him outside of the office for several minutes before we went on to the next office. Here's the thing to me, Chris, and I'll just finish with this on the Planned Parenthood issue. We will live to fight another day. If this does not happen in this health care reform law, we know that the government has to come in October. They come to the issue of funding the government through a continuing resolution. That happens typically in October. And you know it'll be front and center, the defunding of Planned Parenthood. So if we don't win it this time, we're going to go back and we are going to fight again, and hopefully we can eventually get this done.
Well, that's right. We're talking with Mark Harrington. He's the president of Created Equal, their website. We encourage you to visit that. It's www.createdequal.org. And it's an interactive website with videos and an opportunity to volunteer and to see some of the work that they've done and do through the year. And they do take justice rides, where pro-life activity for young people. And this is what's great, is that it is a youth movement in the pro-life movement, what Created Equal is doing. Mark, as we look at this, and obviously we are praying, and we're praying for our president, we're praying for members of Congress, and we know that there's a spiritual battle that's going on for the hearts and minds of our fellow countrymen and what's also happening in Congress. But these men and women have to have courage at this time to do that, which was they were elected to do. And so, you know, you can get discouraged when you see this kind of gridlock. Now, our founders did put the balance of powers together with the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branches of government to be a balancing act, so that there isn't just one tyrannical measure in which edicts come down, but that it is a representative government. And so each congressman, each U.S. senator is weighing in on this. Now, there is a large voice in America that is pro-life, that has been speaking for years, as you've mentioned, and it's really come up to a crescendo at this point. And so we have a real opportunity. They have all the information that they need. I mean, these undercover videos, and they keep coming. Even in the national media, this, you know, James O'Keefe and what he was able to do to get undercover video of CNN admitting behind the scenes, off camera and under a hidden investigation video, basically that they know that they're just lying on camera. That the Trump, you know, the Russian investigation is nothing but a big nothing burger. That's what one CNN anchor said. The producer said, we keep it going because it's ratings. He said, I don't think there's anything there. We haven't found anything, but we keep it going because it's ratings. That was so revealing. You know, it's what the Bible talks about, you know, the days that we live in. And so when we're looking for truth and we're looking for the seriousness of what we're dealing with here, because healthcare does affect us all. And what, let's talk just a minute before we run out of time of Charlie Gard, who's the young baby who has a brain disease in England, and his parents and what they're facing. And that is socialized medicine that basically devalues life. Tell us about that.
Well, this is a story that has captured the attention of the world. This young 11-week baby in Europe, in the UK. Basically, what Sarah Palin warned us of many, many years ago about death panels deciding the fate of people is coming true right before our eyes in the story of Charlie Gard, where we have a hospital, against wishes of the parents, have decided that that Charlie Gard's life is not worth living. And then we have a court in the UK deciding and agreeing with them, along with the European Court of Human Rights. So if that to me describes a death panel. They have decided that they are in authority over this child, and the parents' wishes will not be honored. And so his life has been hanging in the balance for 2 weeks. The good news is they have allowed an American doctor to take a look at him and give his assessment, because here's the deal, Chris, it's not about money. The parents have raised $1.6 million to get him to the United States for experimental treatment that's available for the child. So this isn't an issue of socialized medicine not having enough money, really. This is just about the government through the courts and hospitals deciding the fate of a child, where it should be the rights of the parents to decide that kind of thing. So we're still praying and hoping that they're going to come to their senses and allow this child to come to the United States and receive the treatment he deserves, which is the wishes of the parents. So it's not over yet. We're continuing to pray for the result. And again, this has just been a huge battle that we have been waging as much as we can here from the United States.
And this is a drama that's played out, obviously, before with other parents, but it hasn't been publicized. They won't even allow the parents to take their child home from the hospital. This
crazy.
Folks, you need to pay attention to what's happening. So when people tell you here we need socialized medicine, we need a single-payer system, with that comes rationing of health care, death panels, and devaluing of life. Eventually, they'll be saying that grandma, well, she's lived long enough. We can't afford that heart surgery. We can't afford this surgery. They'll just give them some medication, let them die. The same thing on the other end of life with the very young, like Charlie Gard, who has a disease. But one never knows what could happen. This doctor in the United States has a treatment. He would like to assess the child, and he says, we can actually help. But yet you have a socialized medicine in England that is forbidding their parents to move the child. And folks, you need to pay attention to what's happening here. That's why it was so heartening for the public's interest in this, Mark. The president weighed in, President Trump. We saw the Pope weigh in, the international community, and that's why there's movement on behalf of this child. But what about the others who have none to speak up for them?
Well, that's right. Believe me, the world is united on this. They are pleading with this hospital to change course and give the right. I mean, the parents have the rights. It's not like the courts and the hospitals are giving them the rights. The parents have the rights, and they have the money. They should be able to do what they wish. There's an impassioned YouTube video by the two parents that everyone should watch. It is so hard to watch, because the father says they won't even let us take him home to die.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, it's just unbelievable that we've reached a place like this in our world. But again, through the work of many pro-lifers here in the United States and across America, across the world, and the prayers that are going up, as well as President Trump and the Vatican, we're still holding out hope that the right thing will be done and that Charlie Gard will receive the treatment he deserves here in the United States. So keep praying.
And that's why our voices are so important, folks, to weigh in. And we encourage you to do that. Visit our friends at createdequal.org. Again, that's createdequal.org. Mark, thanks for being my guest today. God bless you, my friend, for all the fine work that you and the team do.
You as well. God bless.
Thank you. And again, if you've missed any of tonight's program, you could also log on to our website, ohioca.org, and catch the entire broadcast. On the other side, we're going to have an encore performance of State Representative Jim Butler and State Representative Robert Sprague. We're talking about the veto overrides of Governor Kasich that took place recently at the Ohio House of Representatives.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. This week, we're going to talk about the historic veto overrides that took place at the Ohio State House this past week as Governor Kasich took pen in hand and he line-item vetoed somewhere in the vicinity of 47 line-item vetoes of the budget that the state legislature has put together. And then the legislature, basically acting on its authority, voted to override 9 of the governor's line item vetoes. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about our organization, you can always log on to our website at ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. With me on the phone is State Representative Jim Butler. He is from the 41st District. And also State Representative Robert Sprague. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Well, we've officially entered into the summer recess at this point, but just before that took place, Speaker Rosenberger called back the House members for what turned out to be an historic 9 measures of veto override of the state budget that the governor had line item vetoed, as we'd mentioned early in our opening. And this was significant because in recent years, basically, Governor Kasich has taken more and more upon himself and his administration to enact measures of policy, namely Medicaid expansion. That was never approved by the General Assembly. Basically, that was done through what's called the controlling board, and we'll get into the specifics about that in a minute for our listeners' sake. We'll need some definition of that. But I remember when this took place. At that time, it was Speaker Batchelder, and he actually moved a few seats around on the controlling board, giving the governor the ability to basically approve Medicaid expansion through the controlling board. This, of course, was very controversial at the time, about 4 years ago. This was when Obamacare was basically busting on the scene across the country. States were either going to enter into exchanges. They were either going to create their own co-op or enter into full-blown Obamacare. So the states had options. And Mr. And then the other one was Medicaid expansion, which Mr. Kasich chose to expand Medicaid at that time. Now, over the objections of think tanks like the Buckeye Institute, a number of conservative groups like the Heritage Foundation on the national level, basically who said that Medicaid expansion was an untenable situation for the future, because basically the state's making commitments that it may not be able to maintain in years to come. Now, of course, at the time, the governor said, well, look, if the feds cut back their percentage of what they're committing to the program, then we'll get out. That was pretty much the narrative at the time. Wasn't that right, Jim, Representative Butler?
Absolutely. He not only did he say that when he expanded Medicaid, as you mentioned, by going around the legislature, but in a radio interview that he conducted about 4 months prior, he explicitly said, take it from me, I've been to Washington, D.C. When the federal government promises you 90%, pretty soon it's 80, and then 70, and then 60. So he knew exactly what he was getting into by going through the controlling board and expanding Medicaid.
Well, and that was part of the question and or criticism to the governor that, look, we don't want to make promises to people we can't keep. Medicaid, for instance, for our listeners' sake, it's meant for the elderly, those entering into long-time nursing care, for the handicapped, for those who are truly poor, that have no other safety net for health care. That's what traditionally Medicaid's been about. What happened with Medicaid expansion? What was the numbers on that, Representative Sprague? Why did Governor Kasich, it was a certain percentage of the poverty level, then he was opening up the floodgates, and these are basically working adults?
Well, these were, as you mentioned before, the Medicaid eligibility levels for the expansion group was 138% of federal poverty level and below. But as you already pointed out, we already cover seniors, so we already cover low-income elderly. We already cover individuals with developmental disabilities. We've already covered kids. We already cover parents of the children. And so really the eligibility group, if you will, of 138% of federal poverty level and below were able-bodied, single, childless adults of prime working age between the ages of 18 and 64. And for the most part, they were men that came onto the rolls. And, I think that's something else that we struggled with as a legislature was, we recognized that there was certainly a need for people, for instance, if you had a severe mental illness, that you needed some sort of medical coverage and Medicaid coverage, if you will, because, it's hard for you to get out of schizophrenia if your mind is not working correctly, in order to be able to go get a job, or hard for you to recover from if you're in recovery for addiction without having some services and a payment source from the state. But for everyone else, these are able-bodied individuals that could be out in the workforce, but are not.
Well, that's right. Representative Butler, at the time, you were in the legislature when this Medicaid expansion was rammed through the controlling board, again, not by the legislative process, over the objections of many in the legislature at the time, by the way. And so it was really, not a proper way to govern, in my opinion. I would, we haven't given a lot of criticisms to the governor over the years, but we were not happy about that because it enrouted the legislative process of public debate on a very important topic of Medicaid expansion. Nevertheless, the reality was the controlling board approved it. The state started receiving the money, and they opened up the rolls for these new able-bodied people to come on to the Medicaid state rolls for health care. The governor at the time projected about 250,000 new enrollments in the Medicaid expansion. What was the reality of that 4 years later? What did the number look like?
The number is 700,000 in terms of new enrollees. So prices... The cost to the state taxpayers, actually, the Medicaid budget has gone up over 50% since Medicaid expansion. And even more worrisome, even more troubling, is that the state share, the state spending on Medicaid overall has gone up over 30% since then. And that should alarm everybody because the federal government has taken care of 100% of Medicaid expansion, and many people that were in existing Medicaid where the state pays about a third were shifted over into the expansion population. But nevertheless, we are now paying, as for the Ohioans, our state part of the budget is up over 30%. If you care about education, if you care about infrastructure, law enforcement, local government funding, you should be alarmed because it is eating up the budget.
As Governor Voinovich said way back then, he said it is the Pac-Man that's eating up the budget. That was way back then. Now it's just been really accelerated with this Medicaid expansion. So the numbers really went three times the projected amount of new enrollments, not 250,000, but over 700,000 new enrollment. Now, let's fast forward to the current debate in the Ohio House and Senate. Here, the governor wanted to continue this expansion idea, and representatives, you were basically saying, look, we got a problem here. We're not going to have the money for this, and if the feds decide to cut back their percentage commitment and load more on the states, we're going to be in a world of hurt and real trouble. Well, the governor, so the measure that you took was a Medicaid freeze, that you would freeze the amount of new enrollment of this new category of working able-bodied adults. It would not box out the elderly, the handicapped, and the truly poor. They would still be applicants for the program. But nevertheless, the governor took veto pen in hand, and he line-itemed the freeze, which was a measure to safeguard the program for those who truly need it. Your thoughts, Representative Sprague?
Well, it's not theoretical in terms of the federal government cutting funding into the future. We're actually seeing pressure in different budget items right now. So, for instance, as the budget was introduced by the governor's office, and they actually were trying to reduce the amount of money that we spend on the elderly, trying to reduce the amount of money that we spend on people with mental illness and behavioral health issues. You're starting to see the pressure from the expansion population eat up other funding sources within the Medicaid budget. And of course, as we look at what's happening in Congress right now, you realize that Ohio's little rowboat here is chained to the Titanic, which is Obamacare. As the Titanic begins to take on water, we're looking at, Obamacare and how the, exchange products, the insurance companies are leaving the exchange products in droves. In a lot of cases throughout the state of Ohio, there are a lot of counties like my home county of Hancock County that doesn't even have an exchange insurance product offered now in that county. Anthem pulled out, Premier down in Dayton most recently pulled out about 2 weeks ago. So you can see that part of the ship taking on water, and the Medicaid piece of Obamacare is exactly the same thing. And, we're looking at Congress. We know that there's going to be cuts to the system and that we've entered into an agreement that we simply cannot afford in the long term.
Representative Butler, what you said earlier, and you were quoting the governor from his experience in Congress back in the day, and he has always said repeatedly, if the feds cut their margin, then we'll get out of the program. That's unrealistic at this point. He knew it at the time. It's disingenuous for him to make that claim. He only has less than 2 years left in his governorship. And so he's actually he's kicked the can down the road. He's passed the buck to his successor. That's not right, in my opinion. We made a statement as an organization. We took some heat for that, by the way, in the press. But quite honestly, it's those who didn't understand the position of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And basically what we were saying is what you, the legislature, was saying as well, and that we said this: in order to safeguard the Medicaid program for those Ohioans who truly need it, the elderly, the disabled, and the poor, restraints have to be put on the program now. Governor Kasich and the controlling board in 2013 expanded Medicaid to include able-bodied working individuals who truly can pay their own way. The governor originally said that only a few hundred thousand people would be added to the rolls. Since he made that claim, the amount has tripled. Without the freeze, it is estimated that another 500,000 could enter the program. The reality is that the able-bodied working-age adults are being put ahead of 60,000 disabled Ohioans who rely on Medicaid but are currently on a waiting list. This is morally wrong and financially unsustainable. Therefore, we urge the Ohio General Assembly to override the governor's veto.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Now, let's go to the veto items. There was nine of them, but item number 26 was not voted to override. That was the freeze itself. Let's talk about that. Representative Butler, what happened there?
Actually, that was item 28, but it's the freeze, obviously, that got the most press coverage, and you know that was obviously much discussed. At the end of the day, Speaker Rosenberger decided to wait to see what the federal government's going to do, what Congress is going to do before we act on it. And we certainly can act on it when we come back in September or earlier, in August perhaps.
So, you know, that's interesting you say that, because he did say later that day in a report with the Columbus Dispatch that he had the votes to override line item 28.
Right. So leadership. All the whips are counting their votes. So, Speaker Rosenberger has mentioned that, that's something that we could do in the future. We're going to be watching Washington closely to see what happens. But very interesting what you mentioned earlier with what the governor had promised and what he actually put in his Medicaid plan amendment, which is the state's agreement with the federal government for Medicaid, to say, if you change the deal that's part of Obamacare, which is that you have to pay up 90% of all Medicaid expansion. If that ever changes, then we can pull out, like you mentioned. But in the budget, we were able to put a provision in, ironically, through the controlling board, so that the money that would be appropriated would go through the controlling board, but the controlling board would not be able to appropriate the money if the federal government changed the rate, changed the deal. And the governor line item vetoed that. He didn't want that. It was the opposite of what he said when he went around the legislature to the controlling board. And actually, at that time, line item vetoed, we actually put explicitly in the budget, you are not allowed to expand Medicaid. And he line item vetoed that out in 2013. So looking at actions, the actions I think here are, he wants to maintain Medicaid expansion, even if the federal government changes the deal and puts a lot more of the burden on the state. And exactly also what you said, that, and I even at the time, I remember talking to advocates for, for children's hospitals and for the developmentally disabled, which, by the way, Representative Sprague has done an outstanding job working with that population and Medicaid in general and the opioid issue. But that, I said to them, you're crazy. And they all supported Medicaid expansion. Why would you support Medicaid expansion? Your population that you're advocating for is already covered under Medicaid, and if you're expanding it, there's only so much money to go around. There's only so big of a pie. The people that you're supposed to be advocating for are you're putting in jeopardy. How could you possibly do that? They didn't have an answer then, and I think now they're seeing the problem with the Medicaid expansion.
So for the record, both you gentlemen would have voted for to override the governor's veto on Medicaid expansion freeze.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, well, very good. Line item 23, Medicaid coverage of optional eligibility groups. So that was voted to override the governor's veto. Representative Sprague, explain that one.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, the Medicaid is an entitlement program, which means that if you are eligible, you meet the eligibility criteria, you are entitled to get all of those benefits. And it's a very comprehensive health plan. very, I mean, it covers a lot more than a normal insurance plan that you would buy a commercial insurance plan. It's extensive, and it is a high cost to the state. And right now the legislature has ceded authority for the eligibility to the governor's office. And unfortunately, that relegates the General Assembly and the legislative body, which traditionally is the purse strings of the state, holds the purse strings, really to only just being a check writer. Because if you don't have control over the eligibility criteria, you really don't have control over your checkbook, because you simply are going to have to pay for whoever is eligible. And so what this does in particular is it says that the executive won't go and approve new eligibility, like the Medicaid expansion, like the governor had done in the past with the Medicaid expansion, will not approve new eligibility groups without the legislature's approval.
Also was line item veto override was number 25, which is legislative oversight of rules increasing Medicaid rates. Representative Butler, explain that one to us.
Well, that one just says that if the governor wants to increase spending on Medicaid, not just enrollment, but what's been happening, which is more and more cost, that our joint Medicaid Oversight Committee, which is a legislative body of senators and representatives, will review that change and then recommend to the General Assembly whether or not the legislature, and that's what you were supposed to have, is the checks and balances with the executive and legislative branch, which we really don't have much of now. The legislature, by concurrent resolution, will be able to stop those rate increases, stop those increased spending in Medicaid, if that was something that the Joint Medicaid Committee thought was a bad idea. So that just retains legislative authority, and that you'll see that as a common theme through many of these veto overrides, where the legislature is seeking to put more balance back into checks and balances in the state of Ohio.
One of the really important veto overrides was the controlling board authorization regarding Medicaid expenditures. This is where the problem actually occurred with the controlling board. Representative Sprague, your thoughts.
Actually, I'd like Jim Butler to answer this. He's the expert on the controlling board language, if you don't mind.
Okay. Go ahead, Representative.
Sure. So that one's what I mentioned earlier. That was the House version, we actually said all the money that's Medicaid expansion, including the federal money, we're not going to let you get it. Well, Governor, you can't spend it. We're defunding it. No more Medicaid expansion. Goes to the controlling board. It was over $10 billion in what the House passed. And every 6 months, the governor would have to come, and the controlling board would be able to review whether or not the governor is enforcing the law. Because we actually, in 2015, passed two very important reforms that get to the cost, not just how many people are covered or how much we're going to pay them for the coverage, but why are costs so high. And one of the biggest reasons that costs are so high, or two biggest, but the biggest reason is we don't know what the costs are. We have no idea. When you're going to get an MRI scan, or you're going to the doctor's office to get an x-ray, whatever it is, we don't know until 4 weeks or 8 weeks later. So we passed in 2015 something that said that if it's not an emergency, your healthcare provider will give you a good faith estimate up front without you having to ask for it. And that actually we were able to get that not only passed in the House, but passed all the way through the budget process, signed by the governor. It was a compromise agreement. But as soon as it happened, the governor didn't want to enforce it, and in fact never drafted rules to enforce it. So part of what we put into this budget was you have to come to the controlling board, and if you are not enforcing the law, if you're not enforcing the price transparency law, if you're not putting a waiver forward in Healthy Ohio, which was another veto override that we did, so we can have skin in the game and health care savings accounts and premiums for people who are on Medicaid, who are able-bodied, then we're not going to appropriate money for Medicaid. So it's a very ironic twist, because the controlling board was the mechanism the governor used to go around the legislature. And this amendment that we added in the House, it actually increases our legislative authority over Medicaid and rights that balance using that very same body, because otherwise the governor is able to kind of do whatever he wants in terms of Medicaid spending. So that's what the House passed. The Senate changed it, and they took out the 6 months. They took out the federal money that was just state money appropriated, and they only left one condition on there, which is if the federal government changes the rules of the game, if they change what they're going to pay for Medicaid expansion, then the controlling board cannot appropriate any money for Medicaid. So that's what he lined out and vetoed. That's what we overrode. You know, that was the veto override. So and that's what we hope the Senate will also override, so that we're going to be able to have that restriction on Medicaid spending if the federal government changes the rules.
Well, and that was a very important veto override, and it ceded power back to the legislature. We commend you for that. Well, gentlemen, we've come up against it, and we're run out of time, but it's been great talking to you both. Again, State Representative Jim Butler, State Representative Robert Sprague, we applaud you for your veto override. Historic, first time in 40 years that a governor in Ohio has been overridden by the state legislature. So we commend you both.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks for being on today, and we'll have to have you back. We've run out of time today. Those that are listening, a program note, we're going to have an encore presentation of Roger Beckett of the Ashbrook Center of Ashland University as we talk about the founding documents. So just on the other side, don't go away. We'll be right back with Roger Beckett. God bless you.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.